Yeah, you know, a little professional open, because we have an interview this this segment. So I thought we would keep the open short, professional, and get right to the point. So here in Erie County, in Western New York, not able to get to that first phase of reopening just quite yet, but who is getting back to phase one? It is Broome County, and we are joined this morning by the county executive, Jason Garner. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. How's it going?
Doing well, Jason. How have you been doing during the coronavirus crisis?
It's been the most difficult situation I've ever had as county executive. I'm a relatively new county executive, but I was a county legislator for about 10 years before that. Never seen anything like this. Never seen the public health issue that we've seen, but then also with all the shutdown of the businesses. We're at a historic unemployment rate here. Never seen since the Great Depression. And then the third thing we're triaging is just the huge budget deficit that every week just gets worse and worse and worse. So those are kind of the three things that we're managing. I got a great team behind me, but we've never seen anything like this before.
When it comes to the budget, what are things you're looking at in this reopen to start cutting into that deficit?
So the first thing we did is we said we're not filling any positions, so we have a hiring freeze. We just furloughed about 50 employees. We have a government of about 2,000 employees, so it's much smaller than Erie County. We're looking at what we're going to do with our parks this year. Are we going to be able to keep them open or not? And I think May is going to be a very important month for counties, because today we're supposed to hear the governor's put forward $8 to $10 billion in cuts through the budget, and then we're going to hear about those specific cuts today. And then also is the federal government going to come in with a much needed stimulus for counties. So I think for a lot of county executives, and I'll just speak for myself, we'll really, at the end of this month, we will really see where we're at. I mean, we could be, if that stimulus doesn't come in and those budget cuts come in, which we're kind of expecting to be pretty bad. I mean, it's going to go from a really terrible situation to an even more terrible situation. But, if the stimulus comes in and the cuts aren't as bad as we thought, it could get a little bit better than terrible, I guess. So, May is an important month for all of us.
Now, looking at the criteria that was necessary to reopen your region of the state, what would you say was the most difficult to get to in that 7 of 7 to enter phase one?
I'll say that I'll put that in two categories. Really, the things that the hospitalization rates, those are not anything directly that I can do. I mean, certainly they're a result of all of our efforts, right, trying to control the spread. But it's not like I can, press a button and get, by tomorrow get my ICU bed threshold at 30%. But we here in Broome County and in the Southern Tier, because remember we're looked at as a region, we have really not seen the type of infection rates that we've certainly seen in downstate, and also over where you guys are in Western New York. Our infection rate is like at when they did the antibody testing, our region was like at one of the lowest regions. So we did not see that. So if you look at the hospitalization data, we're far below even what the thresholds are. And so what we had to work on was the two most important things were making sure that we had enough contact tracers and then making sure that we had enough tests, because tests are expensive and they're very hard to come by. The contact tracing, we actually had a team of 3 contact tracers that traced infectious disease before this started. We now have 50. We've shifted 47 people, county employees, out of their normal jobs and their contract tracers, and we have trained another 50. So we'll have 100 if we need to have it, moving forward. But I think the contact tracing and the testing were, really the more difficult things for us to do that we had some control over.
Now, entering phase one today, starting to see some of the economy reopen, what will that look like in your county and in your region?
So, you know, we, just like every region, you know, we did have essential businesses that were open. But, you know, what that means here is that we're going to be able to see a lot more construction happen, the non-essential construction that was, prevented from happening. We're going to see that. We're, you know, we do have a bit of manufacturing here that's going to start to open up. I was, for example, we have a place called Macintosh Labs. They make high-tech sound equipment. They're going to be opening up on Monday. They're getting their employees in to ramp that up so that their employees can come all back to work on Monday. The retail. We're starting to see a lot of retailers. They can't do in-store sales, but they can do curbside pickup. So, you know, some of them are ramping up to do that. And this is really important. We need to get business back here and going and turned on. You know, the issues that we're seeing with unemployment, people, you know, unable to bring a paycheck home and pay their bills has been huge. It goes to the county with the revenues when people aren't going into the restaurants and buying things. Our sales tax revenues are down a lot. So we're really glad that we can reopen, but we're also a little nervous, right? So we're nervous because, you know, what is that going to do to the hospitalization rates? I think everybody expects that as people come back to work, then you're going to see the chance of infection grow. And the whole idea is to make sure that it doesn't get out of control and that our hospitals are not overwhelmed with what they're getting. So so there's today, as we open up this first phase, it's a mixture of, you know, we're really happy to see our, you know, people able to go back to work again. They haven't been able to work for 2 months, but we're also a little nervous as to, you know, what will those numbers bring in terms of COVID.
Yeah, that was my next question. What are you most concerned about going into phase one? And the second part of that would be, do you expect in 2 weeks that your region will be ready to start phase two?
So I'm going to knock on wood because, in this crisis, I've always said, well, it looks like we're doing well in this. And then, you know, the next day something bad happens. But, knocking on wood, I think because our thresholds are so low, I think we've got a lot of wiggle room in terms of, okay, you know, we're going to turn that first phase on and, maybe there'll be a little bit more uptick in infection, but, you know, we're so low with our thresholds as a region that I think we're in a pretty good position to move to phase two. And phase two is that's going to be the real interesting part, because the way I'm looking at it, I think a large number of our industries, at least in Broome County, a large number of our small businesses are going to fall in that phase. And I think you're going to see a lot of people get back to work under that phase. A lot of people start to come into stores during that phase. And I think, you know, while that's good, it's good that we're, again, getting our people back to work. I think that's the phase where you're going to see a tendency to see more possible infections happen.
Are you concerned when you get to phase two, which includes storefront retailers and businesses, and like you said, a lot of those small businesses, are you concerned that people from a region like Western New York that has not been to phase two yet, people might start traveling to Broome County and possibly spike those numbers?
You know, it's a good question. So we're actually, I have my mother, all my mother's relatives live out where you guys are. She grew up, they all grew up in Batavia, which is like half an hour outside of Buffalo. So I'm trying to imagine, would they come up to Binghamton and take that 4 hour trip? It's about 4 hours away to do some of that stuff. I'm not sure. Maybe if salons were open in phase two, they might be flocking to do that, because that's the number one question that we have asked of all of our businesses is, when are salons going to open up? We're also about 3 hours away from the city. So we're kind of like right smack in the middle of, you know, Buffalo and New York City. We could, you know, it could be possible. We could see that. I just don't see a whole lot of people traveling, you know, 3 or 4 hours, because, you know, some businesses are opened up. And I have a feeling that Erie County and Western New York will be opening up soon. I know you guys are not one of the five regions to do that, but I know your county executive, Mark Poncarts, is working pretty hard up there with the rest of the elected officials to move you guys in the right direction to be included in that part.
And we'll make sure that the pride of Binghamton, Kevin Hardwick, a county legislator here, we'll make sure he doesn't visit Broome County until we're on the same page.
Awesome.
Now, you addressed my next question. It's like you've seen my questions, Jason. My next question was, there is a little bit of vagueness. When do spas and salons and, when can I finally get my hair cut? What phase is that?
Sure. So, I'm lucky my wife took out the clippers and she was able to cut my hair pretty decently a couple weeks ago. But, that's the question everybody has about this. And so I don't know if you heard about this, but they have set up these control rooms, they call it this week, where it's made up of basically county officials and state officials. And we meet once a day and, go through all these questions and try to advocate for business. I think the salon should be in phase two. And right now, we've asked the state a number of times about this, and they just haven't been able to come to a decision on where they fall. And, I understand that because you are working in, close proximity with people. And, at this point, the state hasn't been able to tell us what phase they would be in. So I guess we're just going to have to wait on that.
And the last question I have is another thing that I've been looking forward to, mostly because I'd like to be able to fit in my clothes again. Which phase do gyms start to reopen? We're starting to see that in Georgia, in Florida, Montana opened their gyms today. Of the state phases, which one does gyms open?
I think the gyms was phase four. This was the last phase that we're waiting on. And again, I understand that. And, if you talk about, I have a lot of friends that do karate or mixed martial arts and things like that. You're getting really close to people, right, in that regard. And, you go into a gym, people are sweating on the machines and stuff like that. And I understand that. That's probably the second most asked question that we have of Broome County residents is when can I get back in my gym or when can I join my, my karate studio again? When am I going to be able to do that? So it looks like that's going to be in phase four. My understanding is that as long as these seven metric categories stay in the green and we stay under our thresholds, it looks like we'll be moving every, 2 weeks between phases if we can keep the seven metrics under the threshold.
I lied, Jason. I have two more questions, if that's all right.
No problem.
All right. If there's something, looking at these four phases and knowing your county, knowing your region, is there something you would change about the state's phases to better suit your region?
I just think that I'd like to, and the state has been responsive. I mean, we advocate for certain industries to enter into an earlier phase. I think having a little bit more local control over, certain types of businesses that are allowed to be in each phase. I'll give an example. We are home of Animal Adventure, which it was a national sensation a couple years ago. We had this giraffe that was born called April the Giraffe. Millions of people watch this on YouTube, and we get tons of people. It's a huge attraction. People come from all different countries and different states, and they are advocates. For example, they're technically a zoo. They've got some ideas about how they could actually operate more like a drive-in zoo, where people just drive in with their cars and things like that. So that seems like if people are just going into the zoo there and in their cars and enclosed and just driving around seeing the animals, and they got something like that worked out, I feel like we should have a little bit more local control over those types of things. And right now we are advocating with the state to be able to do things like that, to make some exceptions for businesses that may not be open until like the latest phase, that if they can do things a lot differently than they've done them, maybe they can start earlier, if not right now. So I think, that's the kind of stuff that I wish that the local electeds, the county executives would be able to have a little bit more, input on and be able to do without, the state having to okay it.
Oh, that would be great. And last question. It's my topic. One of my questions today on my show, what is something that you were forced to adjust to to do differently because of coronavirus that now, even when we get back to normal, you might keep on doing it that way?
What was I forced? Gosh, there's so many things that we've had to adjust to. You know, I think just speaking as a county executive and, you know, managing our 2,000 employees, we have had to have employees do things that they've never done before, right? So, you know, we had to set up an emergency daycare. We never had a daycare operated in Broome County because all the schools shut down here. There's still county employees that still had to come to work that now had to find a way to take care of their kids. So we set up an emergency daycare, and that's taking care of their kids. But I mean, so that's something we've never done before. We might decide to keep that. But to that point, we've had to shift employees to be able to cover things. You know, I look at this as it's kind of like a war, and you're on the battlefield, and you know, you got to do things that you never had to do before because you're forced to do them. So we've had to shift employees, like I said, the contact tracing team of people. We had to take 50 employees and take them right out of their jobs and do contact tracing because that is the most important thing that's going on right now. And we've had to take employees from Office for Aging and have them become daycare teachers. And we've had to do things like that. And the employees have been great, but it's something, you know, we're in a government environment and people are not typically used to, you know, saying, okay, here's your job, but guess what? You're not going to do that anymore for the next 3, 6, 9 months. You're going to do something totally different. But the employees have really stepped up to that and they've done that, but it's certainly something that's different, you know, something that we've never seen before. As a private citizen, I'll tell you, I've never seen more people in my neighborhood get outside, walk around with their kids. You know, when I grew up, my parents would kick me the heck out of the house and, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning after breakfast and say, we don't want to see you till lunch, and then get out until dinner time, go outside, play, get out with your friends. That's kind of like changed a lot, right, in the last 20 or 30 years. But it looks like, you know, with this happening and people more at home, it looks like people are, at least with their families, kind of getting out and getting into the backyard. I know my boys are, exploring the backyard, walking around the neighborhood a lot more than they have just due to sheer boredom. There's nothing else to do. But I mean, it's kind of something that we did 30 or 40 years ago as kids that now they're kind of getting back into. And I think that might continue even after this is all said and done with.
Oh, I hope so too. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully we can catch up in about a week or so and see how everything's going.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it, Joe.
Awesome. Thank you. That is the county executive of Broome County, home of Binghamton, Jason Garner, joining us. And yeah, hopefully in a week or so, we can recheck in with him, see how things are going in that first phase. Frank, we'll play with the spots. I got one more thing to say. Back when I lived in Hornell in Steuben County in the 90s, NBC lost the rights to the AFC. And the AFC moved to CBS, okay? Now, in Hornell, we had Elmira NBC. It was great because even if the Bills didn't sell out, we got the game in Hornell. Well, then the contract moved to CBS. And at the time in Hornell, we had two CBS. We had Channel 4 here in Buffalo and Channel 8 out of Rochester. Well, that's the problem. When the Bills moved to CBS, we started missing the games when they weren't sold out in Hornell. So after all those years of being used to watching it on NBC, Elmira, it was blocked out on CBS. And the question I asked, and this was me at the young age of 8, the question I asked, why don't we have the Binghamton CBS? It's a Southern Tier station. We'd be able to get the Bills games. Wouldn't it make more sense to give Hornell the Binghamton CBS and not CBS from Buffalo or Rochester? So there's my end-around Broome County story that I thought I'd share. 803-0930, star 930. Are you willing to assume the risk of coronavirus when you start getting back to work? And what is something you had to do differently because of coronavirus that now you might keep on doing it that way once we get back to normal? We'll be back after this. Welcome back. Fridays are for Beamer. That's me, Joe Beamer, here with you on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you again to Broome County Executive Jason Garner for joining us and giving us a little insight into the reopening of the Southern Tier region and other regions throughout New York that have met the criteria to start the phases and are today in phase one of reopening, which is why I'm asking, do you agree with the phases of reopening? If not, what would your phases look like? Also, are you willing? Man, I every time I've started asking that question, I have tripped over it. Are you willing to accept or assume some risk of COVID-19 when you start going back to work? Like I said, we get a risk every time. You're putting yourself at risk every time you step outside, every time you get in a car, even if you're not driving, even if you are driving. We assume a risk when we travel. We assume a risk when we go to the grocery store, when we take a walk down the street. So are you willing to do that with COVID-19? And also, what is something that you were forced to adjust the way you did it? And now, since you've started doing it, COVID-19, even after we get back to normal, you might do it the way that you were forced to adjust to. So, you know, you see a lot of people doing virtual workouts on TV, right? And they've bought the Beachbody, or their gym is offering virtual workouts. And now you might have some of those people decide, hey, I don't have to go back to the gym. Where we have seen now, gyms are going to keep on offering those virtual workouts even after we get back to normal. So what is something you've adjusted to that, hey, you know what? I was kind of forced to do it this way, but now that I've been doing it this way, I kind of like it. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to West Seneca and talk to Marty. Marty, good morning.
Mr. Beamer, you're living my dream. I wish I could have a radio to talk to people. And so I'm glad that you're getting this opportunity to do what you do. You do it so well.
Well, thank you, Marty. I appreciate that.
Yeah. When this first shutdown came up, I thought it was a test to see what people were going to tolerate the government being able to do, you know. And I'm not a conspiracy, or, you know, conspiracy theory person or anything like that. But I thought, man, this is a real test of what people are going to tolerate. And I got beyond that, you know. I figured we suffered through that, and now we're healing. But now what I'm thinking is, I think after we look back now, we're going to reevaluate what is really necessary, you know. Going to a burger joint or a restaurant or a Rite Aid or something, you take it for granted, and it generates a lot of money, but we've lived without it for the past 2 months. And I'm thinking, geez, there's a lot of stuff we could probably live without, and it's going to cost people because they were supporting that. You know, what, you know... I just think this is really, really an event that it's an event that is really bringing people to think about what's valuable, you know?
Yeah, and Marty, we can look at that either in a positive way or a negative way. And thanks for the call. That's Marty in West Seneca. We can look at the positive. Hey, now we realize, and I said this last week, I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but we realize how important face-to-face communication is. And I think that's a positive we are going to take out of this, is We're not going to settle for a Zoom call to see our friends all the time. You know, once this passes and once we can go see a friend and hug a friend and high five over a sporting event, we're going to realize how much we miss that. And I think we're going to settle less for a text message to stay in touch or a Zoom meeting to stay in touch. I think once I can meet up with all my friends, you know, they text me on Friday. I might be tired. Okay. It might have been a long week. I'm not making up an excuse. I am going to go see those friends because in the last 2 months, I've realized just how much I miss being in their presence and being able to keep company with them. But as Marty said, there's a negative to it too. Now you've realized you can do this, this, and this without that, and there's business that might suffer. Hopefully, I do think people are going to start getting back into their routine. So I hear what Marty's saying, and Marty might be right. This is my counter to it, and he could be right, I could be wrong. I think at first, people will keep on going with what they were doing, realizing, hey, I don't have to spend that money for this, and I don't have to go do that. But then as life continues to get back to normal, right, and we're at sporting events, high-fiving with our friends, and we're at the bars, I think we will slip back into, hey, okay, I can do it this way, but I like doing it that way, right? I like going to this place and this place. Now, I think virtual workouts will be popular for years to come. However, I don't think they are popular with those who go to the gym 5 or 6 days a week and have been doing that for a long time. I think virtual workouts will continue to be popular with those who never really wanted to go to the gym or felt uncomfortable when they went to the gym. Now they've discovered a way they can stay in shape. They're in the comfort of their own home. They can do it on their schedule. And I think that is the crowd with these virtual workouts. So I hear what Marty's saying. And at first, I really do think it will stay that way. But I know human nature is to slip back to what we're comfortable doing. And yes, at first you might say, hey, I can make this just as good as the place I used to go. But then you're going to miss going to that place. You're going to miss seeing the people you would see when you visit that place. And for certain fast food, you're going to miss the convenience of ordering it, picking it up, and it being ready without the mess of cooking it, right? I don't know. 803-0930, star 930, talking to you about the phases, talking to you about are you ready to assume that risk of COVID-19 when you get back to working, when we get back to normal? And what have you started doing differently that, yes, even once we get back to normal, you might keep doing it that way? 803-0930, star 930. It's Friday. It's beautiful outside our Amherst studios right now. Thank you so much for spending your morning with us here on WBEN. You can tell we're getting close to summer when the real feel is the same as the temp. The real feel is 67 outside our Amherst studios. Joe Beamer with you for another hour and 7 minutes talking about reopening and positives. Trying to keep it positive here on the Friday show. We don't need negatives, okay? We don't need to be told that the Bills aren't going to play a game this season or they're not going to play in front of fans. Let's look at the positives. This time next Friday, you can be listening to my show, which is a positive alone, and be eating a Paula's donut. Think about that. This time next week, listening to Joe Beamer, having a Paula's donut, and maybe going to Taffy's for lunch after the Joe Beamer show. I mean, could I paint you an even better picture? Again, keeping it positive. Maybe tonight you're going to the transit drive-in, going to see a movie in your car with your family. Get a little movie theater popcorn. Maybe tomorrow you're going to hit one of the open tennis courts, play a little tennis, breathe in that fresh air. Take in a nice warm spring day here in Buffalo, New York. Again, positives. What we don't need is this. We don't need just constant negatives.
We're not going to be opening on May 15th because we can't meet the standards with regards to hospitalizations. And as you'll see in just a moment, we are headed in the wrong direction.
There's just better ways to say that. I'm sorry. I'm not an elected leader. I probably never will be. You know, I did win 5 elections at Madai. So I like the 5-0 record. We'll keep it at that. But just offer a little positivity. Be a little more, hey, I know you want to be open. It's May 15th. You see your friends in the Southern Tier, in the Finger Lakes. They're open. I know you want to be there. We're just not there yet. But we're getting there. And as Jason Garner said of Broome County, yeah, you have a little more population up there. Yeah, we do. We do. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to a state that's got everything up and running for the most part. Terry in Texas. Terry, what's up?
Well, first of all, what do y'all expect from a dude who went to war with plastic bags? I mean, come on.
Well, he lost the war because plastic bags are back.
I'll just say, I don't know, I hear that guy sounds like one of them 80s fathers that lectures you and points his finger at you while you're on your bed getting told about not making...
Well, and that's the thing, Terry. I mean, we listened to the governor at 11:30, and then we listened to the county executive at 2:30, and it's like we're getting scolded for something we did wrong.
Yeah, doom and gloom, for sure. That's the tone in the voice. So there's no... Got to get some pep in that step, pulling cars. Anywho.
So what's going on down there, Terry? How's it looking post-reopen?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I move around a lot. You know that. I drive all over the state, sometimes to other states. And, I mean, honestly, on a day-to-day basis, I forget that any of this is really going on. You can't, like... I haven't been to the mall. I've been working like 15 hours a day since like last Sunday, so I'm pretty much burnt already. But when I go to the stores that I go to, the ones that allow people in, I mean, it's kind of a mix and match about the people with masks. But I mean, everybody kind of seems just going about their day to day. I know in Lubbock they just opened the gyms. I don't know the numbers. I'm a little ill prepared. I don't know the capacitance that's allowed or whatever. And I still hadn't solved the riddle as to whether or not you have to wear a mask while you're working out. But I know they did just do that. I just saw an article, I think like Buffalo Wild Wings and a couple other places are opening up for seating. Obviously for Mother's Day, took the missus out, helped her celebrate, you know, with her and her daughter, and took her out to go eat. And it was a pretty pleasant experience. I mean, all the servers and everything, you know, followed their protocols and whatever standards they've set in place for their employees. Had a real hard time finding a good place to eat, 45 to an hour minute wait. Just a quick observation that it kind of makes me laugh is we did see some people in line, you know, waiting to get into the restaurant or just kind of hanging out in the parking lot, mingling, wearing masks. I couldn't figure out why you're wearing a mask outside of the restaurant. Well, you know damn well when you go inside of the restaurant, you're going to have to take it off in the first place. I don't know. There's a lot of hypocrisy and, like, inconsistency with some of the stuff, which has always been my major problem. But for the most part, everybody seems to be more upbeat and in a better mood, understandably so, than some of the people that I hear calling in from Buffalo. Because, I mean, at least the leaders are attempting to bring the light to the situation and saying, hey, we're going to get through this, and we're going to continue to move forward step by step. And you know, you guys are doing better. We haven't seen major increases that I know of locally. I mean, there's still more cases that are being generated, which was expected, but they're doing more tests. And every day that they post a number of new confirmed cases, the number of recovered people is actually double whatever that number was. Anybody can fact check that if you think I'm lying. Go to Lubbock News. But so I don't know, man. Everybody handles things differently. Democrats one way, Republicans or conservatives another. And I think it's a scary time to think what would happen if the Democrats were in charge of the entire country at this moment in time, because I don't think anything would be moving. You know, they just got their little pieces of land across the country that they're controlling, and I think they get a kick out of it.
Terry, let me ask, gyms in Texas, are they taking reservations, or can you just walk right in?
Man, I wish I had a better answer for you on that. I know they opened, and I know that... I don't know exactly what, like I said, what the protocol is. I in driving by them, like I see the cars out there and everything like that, but I just don't know. I'm a bad reporter. I'm a going bad, Texas.
Terry, you're one of our favorite callers, and we appreciate you. Have a great weekend, all right, man?
You too, brother. Y'all be safe out there, man.
All right, that's Terry in Texas opening a line for you at 803-0930. When we come back at 11 o'clock, I want to throw in this question. Do you agree with the regional approach to entering the phases, or should it be county by county? I'll explain when we come back here on WBEN.